I want to invite you all to come out for our Wednesday night's Bible studies. It has been really, really good. And like kind of when y'all gather, like I see people even right now out in the vestibule just talking and gathering and sharing. I mean, that's when you guys are the strongest, is when you're sharing your life. You were created to be in community. God created you to be that way. And so for y'all to just talk about life and open your life up here, it's just been a good thing. And that's happening on Wednesday nights, and we gather. And so I just want to say, if you're not involved on Wednesday nights, come out at 6 o'clock, find your place, find a Bible study Well, class is at 6:30. I don't want to get the cart before the horse. How about this? We really eat on Wednesday nights. Like, really, really eat. Our food is lick your eyebrows good. If you're a first-time visitor, I want to tell you that. And this Wednesday night at 6 o'clock, they're going to have something called the Ritzy Chicken. And that's what will be served. And so there's no fast food here. But I want to say that a five buck meal is hard to beat these days. Amen? And the food is good. And I thank God for the people that show up early, that set up, that get everything right. We have several that are on the team for Soul Food Cafe. And you guys just make it just hard to beat. And so I want to say thank you. But there are a lot of people coming on Wednesday nights. So look at your calendar. Look at your schedule. If you're available to come, and then just walk in a class. You'll be welcomed anywhere. And so I would love to have you be a part of that. We are also starting a supply campaign, and you'll see the details out there. I'm to do this rockathon thing. So on your way out, just kind of look. And I think Crystal took my face and put it on a body that's much skinnier than me. So I want y'all to know that's not my real body on that. But we're just not right here. But I'll just flat out tell every one of y'all that the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ is here right now. That's why you came, to experience God. And so that's been my prayer for you, is that you do exactly that. So before we do, let us go to the throne of grace as God's gathered people in a world that's so topsy-turvy. Grace right now. Dear Lord, we just come to you in prayer. We give you this service. We give you these songs. We give you these lyrics, Lord. We give you the message, Lord. Challenge us. Speak to us, Lord. Continue to move in our hearts. And Lord, when you send us out from this place in our week, Lord, continue to have us be the children of the light. Wherever we go, Lord, there are people out there that need your love. They need your hope. They need your support. And God, use us to meet that need. Just put them in our paths, Father. In Christ's name, amen.
We are wanderers, explorers, travelers, roaming the earth field by field, moment by moment, seeking, searching, longing, desperately wanting those we encounter to know what we know. To experience what we've experienced. A life change so beautiful. A grace so sufficient. A mercy so unfathomable that we can't possibly keep it to ourselves. This is our mission. This is our purpose. To pursue the calling of Jesus to the ends of the earth. Will you answer that call? The call to wander, the call to search, the call to walk the field.
This is the second part of a two-part series on skimping, and we're talking about skimping on our faith. And I sit here and I just think maybe Today I'm preaching about the number one way that we all, from time to time, skimp on our faith. So let us go to Psalm 37. I'm going to look at Psalm 37, 5 and 6. We actually have three texts for today, so I'm going to bounce around a little bit. But they'll be on your screens. But Psalm 37, 5 and 6. And I want you to see the first word right there. Is commit. So if God were to want to touch people today, outside of the church, in community, or in the church, in the community of the church. Let's just say if God wanted to touch somebody directly today, in community, what's the number one way that he would do it? Now, he's God. He's sovereign. He can change the rules at any time. But I believe he calls true believers to make a difference in the lives of others. So if there's a pattern in your life where you're not helping other people in many ways, then you've got to check yourself and say, the next step in my growth is me being more aware that he is a caller and he has called me to make a difference in the lives of the people around me, in your workplace, in your neighborhood, in your church. The church today, and I'm not necessarily talking about Lakeview, but I'm going to say the church worldwide, we're really good about hearing prayer concerns, and you know, our hearts get heavy when we hear someone we love's having a surgery or a doctor's visit. And there's some in this church that really get what I'm about to say, but we'll say something like, well, I'll pray for you. And let me tell you, prayer is the number one weapon against an enemy that even comes against the physical temple. So when you say, I'll pray for you, that's a big deal. I'm not diminishing that at all. But then I want you, in your growth with Jesus, I want you to just kind of check yourself for just a moment, take a step back and go, how else can I help them? How else can I be used by God to touch their life? Now, there are people in this church that have had major surgeries, and the outpouring was, quite frankly, beautiful. But I think we can get even stronger. I believe this church has a ton of love in it. That's one thing this church has got. And if you're going to get something right, get that right. And I believe we need to not just have a heavy heart when we hear something, but I think we need to step up and help each other. Then the world will see that kind of witness out of a modern day church and will go, what is up with that place? Then the lost will seek Jesus because they know something's missing. Be that coworker that goes to people and not just prays for people. I think that's the next step in your growth and in my growth. So let us see that first word. Question is your way his way? Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will do this. He will make your righteous reward shine like the dawn, your vindication like the new day sun. When the unchurched says that church is full of hypocrites, what they're really saying is that church is full of people who don't want to get their hands dirty. That's what they're saying. So yeah, God's asking us to look at our lives and think about where we're getting our hands dirty. Whether we really are committing our way to God's way. Whether we see the life that we've been given as his life or your life. Now there are a few things that I've learned in life you don't skimp on. So I'm going to state about three things that are obvious that I've noticed after 52 years of living. I'm at that funky age, you know? I'm at that funky age where I feel like I can still talk to my youth and they get it, and then our seniors, they get it, you know? I'm at a cool age, right, for ministry. But the things that I've learned, I haven't learned it all, and I'm learning on the way. But I know these three things are legit, so here goes. What have I learned not to skimp on in life? One is charcoal. Brothers and sisters, by Kingsford, If you don't hear anything I say today, when you're doing that barbecue, when this weather changes, you get you some Kingsford. Because that is charcoal. Don't buy the cheap stuff, buy Kingsford. There's a sacrifice of both heat and flavor if you buy anything else. Trust me. Okay? Don't go cheap on that. Don't skimp. Next in my mind would be sausage. Oh boy, y'all can tell I hadn't missed a meal. Sausage. If you're going to buy sausage for your family, buy Kaneka sausage for your family. Somebody amen that one. Oh, that's heaven stuff right there. I really am convinced that when I draw my last breath, I think maybe the first thing St. Peter's going to hand Chris Herbert is a thing of sausage. And it ain't going to be just any sausage. It's going to be Kaneka from South Alabama. That's other level stuff right there. And if you buy other sausage for your look, I love the Jim and Dean commercials, but they ain't Kaneka. So let me just tell you, you'll miss out on a blessing if you skimp on sausage buying. The third one is your faith. It's your faith. The difference is that stark. It's your faith. Don't enter the gates of heaven after you've been given this incredible life by God. Even your next breath is in His hands. I'm telling you, it is. Don't skimp on your faith. Don't enter the gates of heaven having skimped on what God wanted you to do and where He wanted you to send you right now. No matter who it hurts, you go where you're supposed to go. No matter what's going on, you're called to do more than pray for somebody when they have something come up. Yes, hit your knees. But then think, how can I make their situation, their life, brighter? You see, that's the light that's in you. That's next level stuff there. And that's what the church has to be involved in. Or else you're skimping. You're buying regular charcoal. Oh, go get some match light. Oh, that tastes like lighter fluid for like 30 minutes. Get Kingsford. Get Kaneka. And don't skimp anymore on what you can do for other people. Don't do it. Live this radically free life where you're just blowing away everybody. And I'm not saying that there are people here who don't get that. No, there are a lot of our people that get that. But there's next level stuff that we as a body can really rise up to. So don't skimp. Who you will live for and who you will reach out to might very well be, and Jesus gave us hints to this, it might really be what's going to matter in the end for your life. Yes, it's deciding to ask Jesus into your heart, but it's also really a journey of wondering, how can I get better? How can I get stronger? How can I get more healthy? And how can His love really go out from me to this messed up world? And it is messed up outside of those double doors, I'm telling you. I am very Pauline in my theology. You see, practical works for me. Practical just works for me. It makes sense to me. Paul, you should remember, said some phrases to really try to warn Christians not to skimp. Some of those phrases like strive. That's that next level stuff that he's talking about. Or press on. I press on toward the mark. There's nothing stagnant about going to the next level. For God. Not for you. For God. He's also the guy who says, work out your salvation. Well, wait a minute. I thought when I asked Jesus into my heart, man, I am good. And you are. Grace will cover the life you live. But I got news for you. He says, work out your salvation to get you to see that you've got to impact the lives of those around you. That's what he's trying to get us to see. He's trying to get the scales to fall off the church just as they did his own eyes on the Damascus Road. So you work out. Next level, your salvation. I think Paul and several other biblical writers, even Jesus himself, I think they want to remind us that your life is not the life that you were born to live, but rather yours is a life now that you were born to give. Wow, that's a bumper sticker, isn't it? You're no longer living for those self-desires. You're living to bring the light to other people. The light that has found you. Well, I found God. I think God finds you. I want to read a text to you this morning from 1 John. Perhaps it's one of my favorite because everybody knows John 3:16, but listen to this from 1 John 3:16. I've mentioned 16 and 17 before, but I'm going to read 16 to 20. And I want you to hear these words from the Lord speaking to us this morning. Here we go. 1 John 3:16 through 20. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought, look at that ought right there, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother and sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Here it's making the case that if you don't move your life right now to the next level love, it's making the case right there, how can God be in you? That is incredible right there. How can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech. Watch this. Or speech. But in actions and in truth. This is how we will know that we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence. If our hearts condemn us, we know that God is greater than our hearts. And he knows everything. God knows your heart. He knows whether you really are trying to touch the lives of people around you. You can fool a lot of people. You can fool me. But you can't fool God. Now this passage that we see, John questions whether it's possible to truly have God's love in you if you have no compassion for the poor. He uses his example, Christ's love manifesting itself through the sacrifice of Christ's very own life. So the question isn't, hey, I want to be more like Christ, how do I do it? The question is, how do I lay down my life like Christ did? You see, when I hear old rugged cross, sometimes I just stop because that old rugged cross is my cross too. And I want to say this. God didn't just give you and me. He didn't give us a little. If you sit back and you really think about the story of Christianity, one thing that you can't run from is that God gave you his very best. He gave himself. If we believe in the Trinity, God gave himself for you and for me. What John is actually saying to us is through the power of the Holy Spirit, the Trinity, is that it's no different from us, for us. True love requires a laying down some sort of sacrifice. And our love is shown, our sacrifice is shown by how we live our lives, by how we love, both in the camp and outside of the camp. And that's not love just being a nice person. That's love picking off a hurt in someone and going to make their day better. It might be a family member. It might be a coworker. It might be somebody in your church. It's just live this life that's just radically away from self and for the people around you. You won't be sorry you did that if you make that adjustment. I love that. It's important to know there in verse 18, let us not love with words or tongue. Well, what do you do when you pray? What do you do when you pray? That woke some people up. What do you do when you pray? You talk to God. Now, we know that you can pray and you have no words, and at that point, the Holy Spirit intercedes. We know that's biblical. I think what it's directing to is right here, because Paul comes right out and says it, that your sacrifice involves both action and truth. Who are you going to? Who are you sharing with? Who are you sharing what you have with? Who are you helping? How are you a hand up and not a hand out? Let us not love with words or tongue, Paul says, but with actions and truth. So as we begin this life of giving, or this life of moving self out of the way, we know we don't need to skimp on our faith anymore. And we begin to see, when you step away from into this your old life and into this new view, you begin to see how ludicrous it is to hold on to the abundance that God has given us, to merely sit back and skimp and just say, "Thank you, Lord," and do nothing with it. The Apostle Paul addresses the body of Christ, giving in light of the inequities among the early believers. I want to go to Corinthians 8 here. I had marked that. 2 Corinthians 8. Take me a minute, because I didn't mark it. Probably should, right? But 8, 13 through 15. Let me find it. Here's what it says. Our desire is not that others might be relieved while you are hard-pressed, but that there might be equality. Pay attention, church. At the present time, your plenty will supply what they need. Do you see the action there? So that in turn, their plenty will supply what you need. Wait a minute. The needy have something for us in this deal? Yes. Those who are hurting in your workplace, and you go to them and you love them and you encourage them, or you buy them a gift and you bring it into work, they have something for you? Yes. I have told y'all since the day I got out here, you cannot outgive God. That's what he's talking about. You can't do it. Things will happen in your life that you can't put together because you're living this outwardly focused life with your love and your actions and your truth. Let me read that again. At the present time, your plenty will supply what they need, so that in turn, their plenty will supply what you need. The goal is equality. As it is written, no one who gathered much did not have too much, and the one who gathered little did not have too little. Paul was asking right there the Corinthian believers to give to those in need, to help those that are hurting around them, with the goal being that nobody has too much or too little. The idea is pretty far-fetched in our modern-day culture. I'll give you that. That kind of sounds out there, because from the day you were born to all the way to now, whatever age you are, we are taught to look out for numero uno. And this is the one faith that does away with numero uno. The gap is so extreme now in our world that we have to now dance lightly around passages that I've even preached here. Talked about it last week. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. I mean, think about it. We don't like that. We don't like that challenge. We don't want to step up to words like that in Scripture, but we want the other stuff. We don't like that stuff. I mean, how can I walk out of my dirty straw shack and enter my 2,000 square foot house without doing anything? You see, the downsizing concept to help other people and choosing not to skimp with your love and doing things and getting things for people around you that need just a little inspiration. You see, that living this way is not only beautiful, but it's biblical. And it's not just somebody who's poor around you. It can include them, but it's any hurt. Miss Ann, can I share something I said with you? I just feel led to do that. While the music was going, I hugged Miss Ann. We talked on the phone last night. And I said, Miss Ann, when the house is quiet, she lost Benji, you know. We've lost our Benji. But kingdom gained him, amen? And I said, when that house is quiet, the Holy Spirit is right there because of who you put your trust in, and you can trust God at His word if you will just live this way. That was just said to her. Guys, you got to become less so He becomes more. I got to become less so He becomes more. I got to do a better job of meeting the needs of the people around me, and so do you. Maybe the best sermons I ever preach are the ones where He's preaching to me. Amen. Then it goes out to God's people. Well, I'll pray for you. Nothing wrong with that. Maybe the church should be called Next Level Church, because that's where God wants you to go. Let us pray. Father God, You have touched our hearts this morning. Our hearts are, Lord, on the heavy side because we know we can do more. We know we can bring Your light to those around us who feel like the darkness has taken over. But Lord, You pick us up and You dust us off and You send us to those that You love. Send the hearts of the people in this church that have given their hearts to You, Lord, send them, not with just words or tongue, but with action and truth. In Jesus' name, amen. So we take Holy Communion, usually on the first of the month, and we're given a time where we can go to the altar and we can kneel and we can pray. And we can get up from that altar, or we can go back to our chairs. Nobody judges anything in this house. We can go back to our chairs and we can ask God to help us go to the next level. And we can mean it. And if you do, that's when you're going to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Amen. To the great Thanksgiving. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to You, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so, with Your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise Your name and we join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of Your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are You, and blessed is Your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord. By the baptism of His suffering, death, and resurrection, You gave birth to Your church, and You delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which He gave Himself up for us, He took the bread and gave thanks to You, and He broke the bread, and He gave it to His disciples, and He said, "Take, eat. This is My body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of Me." And when the supper was over, He took the cup and He gave thanks to you and He gave it to His disciples and He said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is My blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of Me." And so, in remembrance of these, Lord, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died, Christ has given, Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine, and make them be for the world. The body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, Lord, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father. Amen. I'd like to call those forward who are going to be assisting and serving at this time. You do not have to be a member of this church or any other church. We believe the table should be open for everyone. Father God, we love you so much. Forgive us if we've opted not to go next level for you. Let today be the day that the next level of your love goes out from us. From this point forward in our lives, guide us to who need the next level. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Now I thought you would put it in.
Man, that was like...
Thank you. I know you do. You can go right out front. What we'll do is we'll start with the first two rows and then we'll work our way back like we normally do. And you'll make a line right down the front. And the altars are open and I know you can opt to go back to your chair. Next level is what he's asking. All rise for your benediction. I've done a lot of thinking about love and about the world and how the two are supposed to collide and who that collision's supposed to be through. It's supposed to be through God's people. With all the hate in the world that we see today, the only answer to overpower hate is love. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, all God's children said, Amen.